Good morning. This morning we're going to go back to the basics. Now it may be a basic lesson for a lot of us, but the lesson that we're going to be talking about this morning is very controversial. And I say that because most people in our society today have a hard time with the things that we're going to talk about this morning. And they want to argue with us over the things that we're going to talk about this morning. And so that's why I say it's very, very controversial. But there are a lot of people in the world today that believe that all an individual has to do to be saved in the sight of God is believe in Jesus, or believe in God, or believe in some certain precept. As a matter of fact, Article 9 in the Articles of Religion by the Methodist Church, which they call their Book of Discipline, says the following: "Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort." The whole problem with that is none of it's true. We're not saved by faith only. And it's not a wholesome doctrine. And it's not comforting. Because a falsehood that is going to condemn my soul to hell is not comforting. But there are a lot of people in the world today, that hold to that concept. And not only just one denomination, but there's many denominations. Some that didn't used to hold to this doctrine now do. That you are saved by faith only. And I believe even some of my own brethren have taken to this belief. And maybe they won't come out and say it, but by their actions they believe that they're saved by faith only. But the Bible speaks of faith only one time. And that's it. And that's in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 24. That is the only place you will find faith only. And James says that you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And so you see, the Bible says that we're not saved by faith alone. But there are a lot of people who believe that they are. And so what I would like to do this morning is to talk about this concept of unsaved believers. Somebody says, "Well, I hear what you're saying, Kevin, but if you could just show me one single example, just give me one example of somebody in the Bible that believed and that was not saved, then maybe I can see your point." Well, my response to that is, how many do you want? How many examples do you want? Let's start with this first example in John chapter 8. Go ahead and take your Bible and turn to John chapter 8. And let's see what the Bible has to say. In John chapter 8, beginning in verse 30. Notice what it says. "As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?'" Drop down to verse 37. "I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did." They said to him, We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Okay, so let's add up this text. Let's add up this text. I have, beginning in verse 30 and 31, people who believed. Did they not? They believed. Believed what? They believed in Jesus. However, his word had no place in them. They wanted to kill him. And what did Jesus say? "You are of your father, the devil." Now, if you get saved people out of that somehow, then I would like to know how you did it. Because the Bible says that these people believed, but they were not saved. They were not saved. Now listen, one example of a set of individuals that believed in Jesus, but yet were not saved, ought to be good enough for an honest mind. But we're not just going to stop with this one example. We're going to look at some more. Look over at John chapter 12. Look at John chapter 12, and I'll show you another example of some people who believed. In John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 42. "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." These people believed in Jesus. They believed, but they would not confess him. They believed, they refused to confess him, therefore, they are not saved. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." In Mark chapter 8, verse 38, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And then in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." These people would not confess him, yet they believed in him. And therefore they are not saved because they would not confess Jesus Christ. But they believed in him. And so there's two examples. Two examples of people who were right there with Jesus, who heard him preach, and they believed in him, but they would not do the things necessary to be saved. Let me show you a third example. Look over to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Here's an individual we can look at who believed. Acts chapter 26, verses 26, beginning of verse 26. "For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." Here was a man, ladies and gentlemen, that believed. He believed. And somebody says, "Well, I don't think he believed. I don't think he did." Well, let me say this. If you tell me that you don't think he believed, then I'm going to tell you that he's not a king. Because we get that in the same context. I get both of that from the same source. This man believed. He was a king, and he believed. Paul said, "I know that you believe." Look at verse 28. "And King Agrippa said to Paul, 'In a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian?'" Here was a man, ladies and gentlemen, that believed, and yet for whatever reason, he did not become a Christian. Is he saved? No. he is not saved. He is not saved. But the Bible says that he was a believer. We can all see it. We can see it right there on the pages of our Bible. It's in every Bible. He believed. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, here are three examples. Three examples of individuals that believed, but yet they were not saved. Now that kind of puts to rest this idea of being saved by faith only, does it not? Because here are three individuals that believed and yet they were not saved. We can all see that. Well, what's the bridge here? What's the bridge here? What does faith have to do and what does it do for me in helping my salvation? Well, I think we can get the answer to that in John chapter 1. John gives the bridge and shows us how important faith is in our lives. Notice in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. John chapter 1, beginning of verse 11. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Notice that again in verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I want you to appreciate here that the Bible teaches that when I believe, I have the right to become a child of God. Until I believe, I don't have that right. When I believe, I have the right to become a child of God. You see, all three of these groups that we looked at a few moments ago had the very right to become children of God, but they chose not to. They chose not to. Again, take your Bible and look at Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 38. In Acts chapter 8, beginning of verse 36. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Here is a man who believed and then exercised his right to become a child of God. When I believe, I then have the right to exercise that right to become a child of God. You see, that's what the eunuch did. He believed and then exercised that right to become a child of God. Now, the others that we looked at, they didn't do that. They did not do that. Every one of them believed. Every one of them. But they did not exercise their right. Somebody says, "Well, I've done that. I've done that, but I just didn't do it in that order. You see, I was baptized, and then later I believed. I was baptized first, and then later on I believed, and I think that's okay." I beg to differ. I beg to differ, because if there's anything we learn in our lesson so far, it is I have to believe. I have got to believe. And once I have that faith, I then have the right to become a child of God. I don't become a child of God based upon faith and then get baptized later or something else. Once I have heard the word of God and I obey the word of God, I then have become a child of God. And so real quickly, with the time we have left, let's look at the other side of this equation. Let's look at the other side of this. I saw some people who believed, but yet were not saved. Well, how about some believers that we can look at who were saved? Let's see if we can see a difference between these two set of individuals. Look at Acts chapter 16 with me. In Acts chapter 16, you may recall that Paul and Silas have been beaten. They've been thrown into prison. And they've been singing praises and praying to God all night, and then at midnight there's an earthquake. The jailer thinks that everybody has left, and so he's going to kill himself because he was in charge of these prisoners. And Paul says, "Don't do anything to yourself. Don't hurt yourself. We're still all here." And look at what happens in verse 30 and 31. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Here was a man that did not believe. He did not believe. And so he was told, "Listen, if you want to be saved, then you're going to have to believe." You see, he didn't believe. What must I do to be saved? Well, first of all, you're going to have to believe. Notice that. In John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, "I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." That's why they told the jailer, "You are going to have to believe." Look at verse 32. "And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house." Well, why did they do that? Why did they speak the word to the Lord to him? Why did they speak the word of the Lord to him? Why? Why couldn't they just simply believe? Because Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They needed to hear the word of God. And so if I'm going to believe, if I'm going to have the faith that will allow me to become a child of God, then I'm going to have to hear the words of God. And so they were taught the words of God. And then verses 33 and 34. "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God." Now, notice what it was that they were told to do. What was it that they were told to do? Well, we see them washing their stripes at the beginning of verse 33, changing his mind about the beating that Paul and Silas had gone through. And so, surely not. I mean, they believe. Surely not. What comes next? They were baptized. They were baptized. Now, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Because 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. They had heard the word of God. They now believe it. And so he had the right. He and his household now had the right to become children of God. And they did that very night. Every single one of them was baptized. But again, look at verse 34. And notice what it says. "Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God." You see, sometimes the Bible utilizes that word, believing, in that context to sum up all the things that they've done. Let me show you an example of that. Look at Romans chapter 4. Notice what the scripture says there about Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, a lot of people get confused by this. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, notice what it says about Abraham. "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Now that sums up the total of what Abraham did. He believed in God. Well, it does not say that Abraham just simply believed. It does not say that. Allowing the Bible to be its own commentary, we'll see the explanation of this found in James chapter 2 and verse 21, verses through 23. So let's see the explanation of this in Abraham believing. In James chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." Well, what is James saying here? What is James saying? Well, James is saying, listen, he believed in God, and I can say that he believed in God because he did exactly what God said. We can all see that. We can see that. It's very plain. He believed in God because he did what God said. And so it is with you and I. We are not simply saved by faith alone. Abraham was not saved by faith alone. When I believe the words of God, I now have the right to become a child of God, and I've got to make up my mind whether or not I'm going to exercise that right or not. So I showed you three individuals earlier who did not. But then in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 34, I see someone who did exercise that right. Think about Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let me show you another example of some believers that exercised their right to become children of God. In Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 30, in Acts chapter 2, we see where Peter is preaching. He's preaching to these people, and he's preaching to these people about the fact that they killed the Messiah. You put Jesus to death. And then in verse 36, he says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain." That is, you believe this. You believe this. That God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And then verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" That is the same exact question that the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. The very same question. What must I do to be saved? Now, he was told to believe. Why? Why was the jailer told to believe? Because he was an unbeliever. That's why he was told to believe. Peter was answering these people who believed already. They had heard the word of God. And now that they heard it and believed it, they were now told to repent and be baptized. You see, they heard the word of God. They believed it. And they exercised their right to become a child of God. Because you see in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, that those who received his word were baptized. Let me show you just one more. Just one more. And that is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul went through all kinds of terrible sins. And he says in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." You see, at one time, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, at one time, they were drunkards. They were homosexuals. They were fornicators. They were thieves. And they spoke all kinds of evil things. They were involved in terrible sins. But now they're washed. They're justified. They're forgiven of all those things. Well, what happened? What happened? Well, turn over to Acts chapter 18, and I'll show you what happened. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, notice it says, excuse me, "Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, and together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed." And those Corinthians, hearing Paul, they believed, and they became children of God. Is that what that says? Are you following? Does the Bible say, does your Bible say that they believed and became children of God? I know it doesn't. It says they believed and were baptized. You see, they heard the words of God, and based upon their hearing, they believed. And once they believed, they then had the right to become a child of God. And they were as they were baptized. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So you see, ladies and gentlemen, I have two sets of believers here in the New Testament. There's two sets of believers. I have those in John chapter 8 and John chapter 12 and Acts chapter 26. They believed. They believed in Jesus, but they did not exercise their right to become a child of God when they did not obey the gospel. We can all see that. But I see the Philippian jailer. I see the Jews on the day of Pentecost. The Corinthians, who believed as well. And they exercised their right to become children of God by being obedient unto the gospel. Somebody says, well, I don't see a whole lot of difference between the two. Well, you're right. There's not a whole lot of difference. But you know what? The difference is between being saved or an unsaved believer. I think all of us here this morning can see the difference. We can see the difference. I've shown you examples of those in the Bible who believed, who were living their life as though I'm saved by faith only. But they were not saved. The Bible says they were not saved. Jesus told a group of them that believed in Him that they were of their father, the devil. Again, does that sound like somebody who was saved? If you can see through a ladder, then you can see this morning. It is so simple. It is so simple. That's why when you hear these people saying, all you have to do is believe, don't take their word for it. Don't take my word for it this morning. Study these things for yourselves. Look them up. Look at the Bible. Read the Bible for what it says. Because it is that simple. You can understand it. You can understand it. And don't let some man mess with your head and make you think that you can't understand it, that the Bible is just too confusing. Because as we've seen this morning, this is so simple. This is so simple. If you're here this morning and you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, understand that you are not saved by your belief in Him only. You've got to be obedient to Jesus. You've got to respond to His invitation. Mark 16, verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. You see, if you don't believe, you're not going to be obedient. He doesn't say, he that believes not and is not baptized will not be saved. Because if you don't believe, you're not going to be obedient. And as we pointed out in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, those believers were told, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. The Philippian jailer, who was an unbeliever, you need to believe. They heard the word of God, they believed it, and then they were commanded to be baptized. Again, example after example that we could show you. But if you have a need, if you need to respond to the gospel this morning, don't wait. Don't wait. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. You got now. Our only time that has been promised to us is now. So don't wait. Don't put it off. Respond now as together we stand and as we sing.